there.
We got it.
Do you ever feel in life like you need a change? Like you just kind of need a fresh something. Because life sometimes can feel kind of stale and kind of going through the motions, and it's just kind of a struggle where it's just one thing after another, and you just kind of get up and you do life, and then for the day, then you go to bed and feel like the next day just more of that. And you need something to happen. Like you just can't just keep going on like this. There has to be a change. There needs to be something in life to shake you out of this malaise. Something's got to change. There needs to be something transformational, whatever. Something's just got to happen in life. It just can't keep going on like this. If you're desperate for a change, desperate for a new experience, desperate for a shift in your life, that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about the thing that the biggest game changer in life, the biggest thing that can shift life and change life and have the biggest impact in life. We're talking about that today as we're starting a new series. We're talking about experiencing God, about having an experience with God, a personal experience with God. And I would ascertain, or I would assert actually, I would assert that that's the biggest game changer in life is a personal experience with God. An experience, not like something you're told about, something that you just heard about, but that is your personal experience, something that you personally experience between you and God, one of those moments where you just know that you know that you know, right? As Dorothy tells us, when you know that you know that you know, one of those experiences between you and God where you see Him work and you have an experience with Him. That's the biggest game changer in life. Now, a lot of us, we would say, oh, biggest game changer. Man, if I won the lotto, then it would be, that would just handle all my problems. Or if I got that promotion at work, or I got that new job, or I was able to find a spouse, or I was, whatever, all these things, that's the game changer I need. But I'm going to assert that those events aren't really game changers, because you're still you, right? You are still the same. So if you win the lotto, it's still you spending that money, right? And you're still in the same path, still after the same things. But the biggest game changer, entire change of trajectory, change of everything, is a personal experience with God. When we look in the Bible, all these crazy stuff happens in the Bible, right? All these people going through amazing, living these amazing lives, having these amazing experiences. We've seen God work in amazing ways. And the difference between all them and us, the thing that sets them apart, whether it be Abraham or Moses or David or Samuel, Isaiah, Paul, whoever you point to, each one of them is started with a personal experience with God. They personally experienced God and to such a degree that life could not go on the same, right? They had this encounter with God, and because of that, life had to change. They just couldn't just keep going as they were because it was so impactful for them. This led to them living these incredible, amazing lives. And for us, our lives don't usually match up, right, with these guys in the Old Testament and all through the Bible. Our lives are kind of boring and ordinary compared to all the crazy stuff that's happening to them. And again, the big difference that we see is they had this personal experience with God. So that's our main point today, our central thought that we're going to build off of today, is that the greatest game changer in life is personally experiencing God. So if you like fill in the blanks, that's something that helps you follow along. That's your first fill in the blank in your bulletin. The biggest game changer in life is a personal experience with God. So as your pastor, as someone who loves you and wants the best for you, I want this for you. I want for you to have this experience with God, a life-changing experience, an experience that reorders priorities, that changes how you do things, that changes how you view the world. So we're beginning an 8-week series today on experiencing God. We're going to be unpacking that, experiencing God, and talking about the realities of that. What does that look like, experiencing God? And the reason we're doing that, because experiencing God, not only is the biggest game changer, but as Christians, it's expected. This is how it's supposed to work. It's a critical part of the Christian life. And I would even say it's kind of the whole point of all of this. It's the point of all of it. Check it out. Open your Bible, John 17. Open your Bible to John 17, and we're going to see how this experiencing God is such a critical part of the Christian life. So John 17, I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. If you've got a Bible, open up to that. If not, it just looks real good. The paperback Bible's in the pews. That's there for you. If you don't want a Bible, you can take that one. Write your name in it, and now it's yours. All right, John 17, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is Jesus right before he goes to the cross. He's getting ready. He's already had the Last Supper. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's got a lot on his mind. And he spent some time in prayer, him and the Father. And we actually looked at this later part of this prayer we looked at a couple weeks ago when he was praying for us, the people who would believe in his message. But today I want to focus on the beginning of the prayer when we kind of get led into this intimate moment between Jesus and the Father. And he kind of fills us in, clues us in on something. And so we're going to look at that together. Again, this is the night before he goes to the cross. John 17, starting verse 1. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him, all those you have given him." Verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You guys catch that? How we define eternal life? He said, this is eternal life. He said, this is it. Here's the moment. I'm ready to glorify you. I'm going to the cross. We're here. This is the time. It's ready to happen. Let's make this happen. So that they can, so I can bring them eternal life. And then he defines eternal life. That they may know you, the Father. The point of the cross, the whole point of Jesus coming and all that, isn't just for you to get to heaven. It's not just about heaven, like, okay, when it's done, I don't got to go to hell, I got to go to heaven. It's not just about heaven. When he talks about eternal life, he defines eternal life as knowing the Father, about knowing God. See, we were far from God. We were enemies from God. We were separated from God because of our sin. But when Jesus went to the cross, he brings us close to God. Right? He pays a penalty for us, for our sin, so that we can have that relationship with God. The point of all of that, the point of Jesus going to the cross, the point of all this, is that we may know the Father, that we may know him, so we can have that experience with him. See, I think sometimes we get it wrong. See, God isn't some doctrine. God isn't some theory. God isn't a concept. He's a person. He's a person to be known. It's not some ideology, it's not some belief system, it's not some whatever way of life. He's a person. God is a person to have a relationship with, not just to be believed in, but to have a relationship with. And that's the point of all of this, that why Jesus went to the cross, why he came to earth, why he went to the cross for us, why we've been chosen to be his, is so that we can have an experience with God, so we can know him and have a relationship with him. And why does this matter? Why does experiencing God matter so much? First, fill in the blank. Why does this matter? The experience of God, why is such a big deal? First reason is this. Because when I experience God personally, I come to know him completely. When I experience God personally, I come to know him more completely. So there's knowledge, right, that we can get by studying and all that. But that isn't all compared to the knowledge we get through personal experience. For instance, check this out. Let's say there was this scholar who maybe grew up without a father. So he wanted to know about fatherhood. So he did all this study. He devoted his life to studying fatherhood. He read papers on it. He did research on it, fatherhood in multiple cultures. And he did word studies, you know, parsing out the word of what it can mean. He talked to fathers, did surveys and all that to study the idea of fatherhood. But after all those years of studying fatherhood in that way, I guarantee that scholar wanted to know more about fatherhood than any young child who had an experience of loving father, right? Because if through experience, that young child would just know because he's experienced it personally. They would know about fatherhood in that way. Same way if somebody in the East Coast wanted to learn about Long Beach, and they did all this study about, you know, the racial makeup of Long Beach, and the crime studies, and the housing market, and the climate, they did all these studies, and devoted real big papers on it and all that, they want to know more about Long Beach than you would, because you live in Long Beach, right? For those of you who live here, you know Long Beach because you experience it. You know it in a way that someone can never know by just studying it, just from, you know, about the head knowledge. Because we learn far more from personal experience than just through head knowledge about studying about something. It becomes real, right? When you experience something, it becomes real in a different way. Like, you may know, if someone asks, is God your protector? You could say, yes, I know, because, you know, the Bible says he is and all that. You know. But it's something changes when you experience it for yourself. when you experience God as your protector. Listen, I don't know what your story, maybe you're that time that you're on the street corner and you're checking, you're texting on your phone, and you're about to step off that curb, and for whatever reason, you forget and you turn or whatever, and right then that bus whizzes by. And you know, well, you just got saved, right? Now that would have been the end of you, that you deserve to be dead, right? Or whatever your story is, when you experience God as your protector, then you have that personal experience, it changes. It changes how you see it. When you experience it for yourself, you know it in a new way. You may know, you've heard that God is your healer. But until you experience it, it's not totally real. It's not completely real until you experience it for yourself. Until the doctor looked at that film and said, well, I don't know where those dark spots went, but they're not there anymore. Right? Or I don't know, you know, this healing, I don't know how it happened, but you're all clear. Everything's good. When you experience that for yourself, it changes. You begin to know it in a new way. It's a more complete level of knowledge. Or you may know that God is your provider. You can trust in Him and He's your provider. But until you experience it for yourself, when the bills don't add up, you don't know what you're going to do, and you cry out to God, and then everything gets handled, and God comes through in a way that you can experience for yourself and know that, hey, that was God. When you experience it, you know it in a new way. When you say, yes, God is my provider, you can know Him in that way. It increases our knowledge of Him when we experience it for ourselves. Because through experience, we have a lot better understanding than we do just by reading about it or hearing about it. That personal experience in God, it changes that. John 17, remember, said this is eternal life, that they may know that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. I worry that we don't really know God in the way he's talking about. That we know about God, we learn about him, but do we really know him? Do we really know him? Have we experienced him in that way? I mean, we know that God is loving, but do you know it from experience? Have you experienced it? Or is it just that you've heard about it? Do you know that God is all-powerful because you've heard about it or because you've experienced the power of the life? Do you know that God is all-knowing? His plan is the best. He knows what he's doing. Because you read about it or because you've experienced it for yourself? Because as we experience God personally, I come to know him more completely. It grows my knowledge of him. And why does that matter so much that I would know him completely? Why does that matter? Second one, because the more completely I come to know God, the more I will follow, trust, and obey him. The more I experience him, the more I know about him. The more completely I know God, the more I will follow, trust, and obey God. Because when I begin to experience God, and I learn about him, I learn from experience that he's all powerful, that he is loving, that he's able to do all things, he wants what's best for me, and he knows what's best for me, he's all knowing. When I learn that from experience, then when he comes and asks me to do the hard thing, that thing I don't want to do, I can still trust, follow, and obey. Because I know those things to be true about him through experience. My story, I grew up in the state of Washington. Up in the woods, you know, catching triads and swimming in creeks and that kind of stuff, right? Nothing like Long Beach. And just like any kid growing up in Washington, there's one thing that every kid wants, and that's to go to the University of Washington. That means you've made it. You go to the University of Washington, that's what you do there. And so that's something I wanted in my life. I had posters on the wall of Huskies football. I had Husky t-shirts. I had Husky banners. I had Husky trash can. I had Huskies everything. I was going to go to the University of Washington. Now, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up going to church, and so I knew how it all worked, you know, but I wasn't that into the whole God thing. I was more into being cool and being liked, and wasn't sure that God really helped in that, and still, you know, instead I saw people getting ridiculed for the faith, so I said, I'm just going to keep my faith on the down low. But when it came time to go to University of Washington, I really wanted it, and so I know if you really want something, you pray, God, your will be done. But I would love for this to happen. But your will be done, right? Do that. So I did that for a while, and I hadn't heard anything. I applied, I hadn't heard back. So I said, you know, so I started praying this. God, if it would fit within your will, put me at University of Washington. Still in here. Other people are hearing back. I still haven't heard if I got in or not. It was just senior high school or whatever. I started getting frustrated. And I said, God, I don't care if your will or not. You're smart enough, make it happen. You can work it out, I'm sure. I don't care what you want, put me in the University of Washington. Make this happen. So I was getting frustrated. I'll never forget this Sunday. I go and sit down at church. My parents dragged me to church. I'm sitting on this whole time. And the pastor gets up there. He says, there's somebody in this room today that is putting your plan above God's plan. And it's time to give it up. It's not going to work. You need to release that. That plan is dead. He wheeled out a coffin. Whole thing. Wheeled out an actual coffin. Opened up. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to tear off a sheet of paper. You're going to write what that plan is. And you're going to walk up here and put it into this coffin because it's dead. And I was like, and they start playing, sings my soul, I sing it down to thee, I'll bring it down. And I still remember the song. That's how traumatic this moment was. And I write in a shaky letter a U and a W. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's all shaky. And I tear it off. And people just walking up. Everyone else is going through the motions, I'm sure. It's just another one of those Sunday things, that whatever. But for me, I walk there like this. And I put that thing, that slip of paper in the offering, or in the coffin. And I walked out there. I said, all right, God, fine. Whatever you want, your will be done. Devastating. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll do it. I'll trust you that way. And then, so I still haven't heard anything from the University of Washington. So finally, it's like a week before school's supposed to start. So I call the admissions office. I said, hey, I applied. I still haven't heard of it, yes or no. They said, what? You should have heard like 3 months ago. I said, well, I haven't heard. And it's literally the person's like, wait, what's your name? So I'm talking to her. She says, oh, it's right here. It's on my desk. It got misplaced. Here's your application right in front of me. And she says, I'll submit it right now. And you call back tomorrow and ask. But she said, here's the deal, though. When you call, they're not going to tell you yes or no. They can't tell you that over the phone. They're not allowed to. So here's how you're going to know. Ask them when you'll receive the packet. Because an acceptance, a denial packet only takes a day to put together. An acceptance packet takes a week to put together. So just ask them when you'll hear, because they won't tell you. So I said, okay. So I call the next day. I say, yeah, I'm just checking my application. Oh, yeah, we processed it. I said, when will I hear it? She said, you'll hear it tomorrow. And I was like, okay. Hung up the phone. I tore all my UW posters off the wall. Took my UW t-shirts, threw them all in my UW trash can, and just dumped it all. I was done. I was finished, whatever. Next day, I'm driving to work. I pull out. And I'm on my way out. It's Washington. You've got to drive to your mailbox. That's how it's like there. So I'm driving out, and I stop at the mailbox. I open it up, and there's this packet from the University of Washington. So I open it up. It says, acceptance. And literally, I had an experience with God. I started, it's hot, it's end of the summer. I got all my windows down, and I'm like in traffic singing, and sing my soul. I'm like belting it out at stoplights. I'm weeping. I'm like, and meanwhile, these people are like, what's going on over there? But I didn't care. I had this experience with God, all right? I had this experience. I'm sure you can explain it away. Oh, it only took a day because probably they only had to process once, so they're able to get it in a day. Or, you know, it didn't matter. It just got left off. It's just, you know, circumstances. God didn't really do it. You could probably explain it away. But you can't explain that to me because I know, right? I know I had that experience with God. And because of that experience, I went to the University of Washington for God. I said, you did it. I'm going there for you. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Even the prince says, I want you to go to that, you know, that Bible study with those weird Christian people. Oh, I don't want to. But I would step out in faith. Okay, I'm going to trust and obey because I learned that God loves me and his plan is best. He's got things under control. I can trust him, so I step out and obey. And then that will lead to the next thing. I want you to go to the big group meeting. And yes, people may see you there. Okay, I'll do it. You know, and it led to a whole series of faith steps that led me so much so that I ended up down in Compton here working with inner city kids. I went to Japan because I was just trying to think like, whatever, I want to do something totally out of the box. And God just led me on a series of faith steps. I became a faith junkie where I was looking for the next faith high, so to speak, right? Where I just, because I would step out and God would like do amazing things. And it led me on a path to where I am today, where I'm where I get to be a pastor here in Long Beach to you wonderful people. I never would have chose this life, all right? I never would have chose this for myself. But God in a perfect plan, starting with that experience, led me on a path looking back. I said, oh, hallelujah. I never could have come up with something to do on my own. So I praise God for that plan. But it takes that experience with God so that we can trust and obey. So we can follow, trust, and obey. When he says do something, say, oh, I don't know. I got all these reasons not to do it. But man, I have that experience I can go back to and look at. That's why I can trust. Now, a lot of us, you may hear this, oh, you can't go, I don't want to fully submit my life to God, because he might make me be a missionary in Africa or something. I'm not down with that. Or, oh, never tell God what you don't want to do, because I guarantee he's going to make you do that one thing. Right? We talk that way. But that shows that we don't totally trust God. We haven't experienced his love, and he knows what's best. He may make you be a missionary in Africa, but it's because that's the best darn life you ever could have. Because he knows better, right? It's not like he's just trying to punish us and put us in tough spots, but instead, his plan is way better than ours. He's got an awesome plan for our life, which is the last point. That the more I follow, trust, and obey God, the more I experience his best for my life. So the more I can do that, the more I can follow, trust, and obey, the more I experience his best for my life. I can tell you from my personal experience that God's plan is best. He met every one of my needs. If I look back, I said, holy cow, he just met every one of my needs and then some. Just blessed me over and over. And I wouldn't change my life for anything. Now, if he said from day one, here's what you're going to do, I'd have been like, no way, count me out. But one step at a time, he led me down this path. I was just so thankful for it. So, and this is, it's kind of like this cycle, right? That the more, when you experience God personally, you learn more about him. When you learn more about him, you're more willing to follow, trust, and obey. When you follow, trust, and obey, you experience his best for your life, and which is kind of like experiencing God. And because of that, you learn more about him. And then because you learn more about him, you're willing to follow, trust, and obey. Because you follow, trust, and obey, you experience his best for life so that you learn more about him. And it kind of turns into this life cycle. And I think that's what it's supposed to be about. We're not just supposed to know about God. You're supposed to know God. You and him, you got to fight. You know him. You know him. People may try to explain it well, but you know. You have this experience. It all begins with that experience with him. So we need to cherish those experiences with God. We got to hold them dear. We got to value them as much as a winning lottery ticket. This is the most transformational thing in your life, with those experiences, those personal experiences with God. You got to remind yourself why you know that God is good. Those times that in your past you saw him come through for you. Or maybe you don't have those times. We gotta seek those out. We gotta cherish them, right? We gotta engage with God in these things. We gotta trust him so that we get a chance to see him come through. Meaningless, we don't experience God's best for our lives because we're afraid to trust him. Right? We don't really trust him. And the reason we don't really trust him is because we don't really know him. And the reason we don't really know him is because maybe we haven't really experienced him personally in our lives. So that's what the whole point of the series is that we're starting, we're going to be spending the next 7 weeks on, is this experiencing God personally. For us to have that valuable experience with God. We're going to be unpacking that and talking about it. Some of the topics are going to be covered during these 7 weeks. For to be able to believe and experience daily God's infinite love for you. That you hear when God is speaking to you. That you be able to identify God's unmistakable activity in your life. You believe in him to be and to do everything he promises. That you would adjust your beliefs, character, behavior to him and his ways. To be able to identify a direction he is taking in your life and recognize what he wants to do through you. To know clearly how to respond to what he shows you. And to experience God doing through you only what he can do. This has a chance to be a life-changing series. It really does. We have to make ourselves available to him. And be ready to experience him. We have to desire, have to want it. Right? We have to engage God in that. And that's our goal for this series. That each one of us can have that experience with the Father that would change our life, that we would reorder things so that we know him more completely. That we'd be able to then trust him and follow him and obey him wholly. And as we do that, we can experience his best for our lives. Man, if we get this right, City Life Church, watch out, Long Beach. Right? If we're full of a church and people that are ordering their lives based on their experience with the Father, watch out, Long Beach, some difference that God can make for each one of us. I know he has a plan and purpose for each one of us. Every one of you. He does. He's got a plan for you. And our goal for this series is to find that plan, to check in with it, and to follow it out in God's time. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the series. I'm excited about what God's going to do. And so that's going to be for the next 7 weeks. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you make yourself available to us. Not because we're so loving, not because we deserve it, not because we're so wonderful, because you're so loving and you're so wonderful. So we praise you for that. We give you glory for that. God, I pray for each one of us today that we would be able to experience you in our lives, that you would grant each one of us an experience that would bring about life change, experience that would be the beginning of ordering our life for you, responding to you. God, I pray that that you would help us to hold those dear and to live in response to those. And so, God, we just give this whole series to you, starting with today, God. Help us to value those life, those experiences above all else. So we love you and thank you so much for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, hey, that closes out our service for the day. If anyone has an offering to give, we don't pack baskets or anything here. There's a box in the back. If anyone wants to give an offering, goes in there. Also, a spot there for communication cards. If you have any prayer requests or anything that they get shared, you can put those in there as well. Remember, Saturday is Bless the Block. So Saturday is Bless the Block right here at 10 o'clock. And then the two Sundays, anniversary potluck. So sign up for an addition to the potluck. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today. Love you.